So we heard the story of the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Good Shepherd today. Now, in the world of the Bible, sheep and shepherds captured people's imagination. Why is this? Well, both sheep and people are actually social animals, as you might say. We both need to live in groups. And what is curious is that both sheep and people live together. We have experience of each other, especially in places where we have need. So if the land is dry, sheep need shepherds to be near the places where fresh grazing and water may be found. And as people, we gather where we can have our needs met, so to speak. After thousands of years of close contact, the human societies of the ancient world saw themselves as being a bit like ancient, like sheep. Sheep provided a reflection of humanity. And we both need to be safe in family groups. We're both vulnerable to attacking animals such as wolves, we used to be. We both benefit from wise and caring leadership. And if circumstances get complicated or critical, we both need help getting what we need in food and water and shelter. And that identification and shared nature was not just reflected in the Bible among the Hebrews. The pharaohs of ancient Egypt also saw themselves as shepherds to their people. The people were their flock and they were the providing protector and leader. And you can see the shepherd's crook on the pharaoh. And since the ancient world, people have actually built fences and trained dogs and invented steel wire and they use motorbikes. So sheep rearing has become a bit industrialized. And in our world, I don't suppose you're really happy considering yourself to be a sheep in the same way as people did then. Today, people consider sheep to be dumb and powerless, which is not how modern people tend to want to think of themselves. Modern people in the West prefer to be independent of a close, wider community or a herd mentality. And they certainly don't want to be under any obvious shepherd role, unless it's desperate, such as in a time of war or something like that. Westerners don't really like that sheep connection in the same way anymore. We're temperamentally probably more like cats, less social and certainly not keen on being interdependent within a flock. So with this in mind, I'd like to open up one of the best portions of best known portions of scripture and link it to those words of Jesus that we heard today. And I'm going to do that through a very personal experience described in the Bible. It's the experience of David, the youngest son of Jesse. So there's a strong tradition that David wrote Psalm 23. And it would be quite good if you could turn to Psalm 23 in your few Bibles, if you could. So we're going to look at that quite a lot. And that psalm may well express something which we could profess for ourselves. Now, when Samuel, the prophet, asked Jesse about his sons, Jesse did not consider presenting his youngest son, David. You may know this, remember the story. David was out doing a job that had been assigned to him, looking after the family sheep. Now, David may have been kept at a distance because he was a bit of perhaps a family embarrassment. Why? Well, he was Jesse's son, but there's a hint that he may not have been well born. You know, he was the youngest. He may have been perhaps illegitimate for some reason. So he was kept at a distance out of the way. And it was only when it was insisted upon by Samuel that he was actually brought to be considered by Prophet Samuel to be anointed as king. But anyway, David was basically out of the way with the sheep. And he lived more with sheep than people. He may have well have felt that sense of being put away and some shame around that. But there was something in this lad that would not be put down. He knew about the Lord God of Israel, and he knew about sheep, and he had a poet's heart. And this all came together in a psalm. So what did he do in the psalm? He imagined himself as a sheep in the Lord God's flock, talking to other sheep. And he accepted and celebrated the Lord as his shepherd. Through the psalm, he declared that in his needs, his wounds, his uncertainties and griefs, he looked to his shepherd, the Lord God of Israel. And this is where he placed his active faith. So let's just go to the psalm. It's going to appear on the screen as well. And let's read this psalm together. I hope you can see those words. If not, you can probably get a picture of them in your Bibles. But anyway, I'd like to just read it, putting ourselves in that mindset of a boy who's been made to feel shame and does not expect much from his family. So I'll perhaps, I think we can read it all together. We've already sung it a couple of times today, so let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I think that psalm actually fits David's early experience well. He looks to God Almighty as his shepherd and to dwell in God's house forever as an honored guest, even in front of those who despised him. David knew what a good shepherd was, and he applied that boldly to frame his faith in God. Now, being a sheep in God's flock is the best. And that's what I look to and claim for myself. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, when David says that, there may even be some light criticism of others in this, as he implies that there are various other shepherds on offer, but as a satisfied sheep, he chose for the Lord. He is the best, and here is why, he says in the psalm. I can hear a parallel to Joshua's challenge to Israel. Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We are all like sheep, so choose your shepherd, people. I have chosen the Lord. He is the best. And then, 900 years later, Jesus speaks into all that consciousness and declares himself to be the good shepherd. And we heard this from the John 10 reading today. So add the next slide, thanks. There are other shepherds, but Jesus says, but they are not worthy of the trust and love of the sheep. They are not good. Jesus defines the good shepherd in one phrase. They laid down their life for the sheep. He also says, I know my sheep and they know me. And in the passage just before that, he talks about that the sheep know his voice and will follow him. Jesus says the Father loves him for doing this. Jesus is the assigned good shepherd of God's flock. He fulfills all those attributes that you can see in that psalm that the young David was inspired to celebrate. So what struck me in David's psalm was the passion and boldness with which he professed that the Lord is his shepherd. He celebrated being God's sheep under the care of the Lord. This is so simple and so strong. This is David's faith. This is what he was singing to his sheep as life opened before him. This is what he declared amidst the dangers and uncertainties in the context of his family's shameful secrets, perhaps. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my good shepherd. In all circumstances, I will trust in him. And resolving that brings peace and rest. David says, my existence and my significance is all linked to my shepherd, my very good shepherd, so that I can live in that settled faith. So we can ask, is our Lord Jesus our good shepherd? But then what if things go wrong, just like for David? What if some of my cells start to misbehave or my heart gives up? What if I lose my livelihood or those dear to me? What if everything around me seems to be falling apart? What about when it almost might seem as if he's let me down? The answer that David would give is no change of shepherd will be considered. The Lord Jesus Christ is my permanent shepherd. Not a coach for a sports team for a season or two, or a boss when I'm at work. Not someone that I trust when all goes well, but put aside to rely on myself when life gets a bit more difficult or tricky to handle. The reality of that foundational faith often only comes clear in deep crisis. Deep crisis has the ability to sift faith in a good shepherd. That's a silver lining in a crisis. Now, most people seek hope and hang on to that. I've seen that often when I've been praying with ill people, very ill people. They want to hope in God, even when all the signs are against them. But true Christian hope is in what God will complete in Christ. It rests on what God has begun in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christian hope is about sharing in what God has pioneered in Jesus. It's not that alongside our own efforts, God might add something to save you. The prayer is good, hope is good, faith is the goal. What David and Jesus are about is accepting and trusting God as good no matter what. That's faith in something beyond hope. Jesus invites that faith from all who would give it by promising, I lay down my life for my sheep. Thus I am worthy of your faith. And this commitment is Jesus' level of faith on our behalf and for us, that he's laid down his life for us, longing for us to be his sheep. So that means that we begin with trusting Jesus and what he says and owning him as our good shepherd, and then we live out of that. We can then daily celebrate Jesus looking over us and caring for us in the course of life. The Lord will provide even when no others will. And the Lord is there as our shepherd, even when we're going through whatever. And in the church, in this church too, we could all do with growing in that faith. The risen and ascended Lord is our shepherd. In that faith, we can face whatever comes. We can move beyond hope to step out in faith, knowing the Lord is on our case. Even when we fall into a deep hole or threatened by a wolf, it's up to us to gather as sheep in the flock of our shepherd. And there's, all at once that has that feeling of, actually gathering as the sheep of the Lord, listening to his voice, gathering to his call, following his lead, not being independent human beings, but being the sheep in the flock of our shepherd, our Lord Jesus, sheep-like in our trusting him. And after confessing Jesus as Lord, perhaps the next line should be, he is my shepherd, my good shepherd. And finally, if you have any trouble sleeping, don't count sheep, talk to the good shepherd.